This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Antler Up podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. And turkey season is here, and if you're serious about running and gunning for gobblers, you need a vest that's as mobile and adaptable as you are. That's where the Tethered M2 Turkey Vest comes in. Designed with the input from the hunting public and built for high-speed, low-drag performance, the M2 is ultra-light, whisper-quiet, and completely modular. Whether you like to keep it minimalist or pack in every tool of the trade, the M2's MOLLE-compatible system lets you set up your gear exactly how you want it. It's made from whisper-tough fabric, a blend that's soft and silent on the outside but tough as nails on the inside, all wrapped in the legendary Mossy Oak Bottomland camo. And best of all, the M2 is proudly made here in the USA, built for durability, designed for the ultimate mobility, and ready for the toughest turkey woods. So head on over and grab yours today over at tethered.com. At Antler Up, we know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why we're excited to partner with Huntworth Gear. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertec pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment, whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season. From lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has you covered for everything you need all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to check out their full lineup.
I love podcasts.
We're back for all four of us. We're back at camp. We got turkey camp in the books. I mean, we kicked it off by having a nice little Connecticut, some turkey nuggets by Tim. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, man.
Delicious. Jim's already asleep.
Fried turkey nuggets, too. They slap.
Dinner was walking around the woods this morning.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, dude, that's...
Traveled from Connecticut back to Pennsylvania and got to share with you guys, so...
There should probably be a tax on that.
Yeah. Friendship.
Yeah. Field to fork in relatively quick fashion.
Yeah, 12 hours.
Yeah.
Field to fork.
Oh, man. That's what the kids are saying these days, field to fork. That's like all the rage.
Do turkeys have nuts? Can we eat turkey nuts?
Yeah, I want to see Josh Bomar eat a turkey cock. That guy eats anything else.
Yeah. What size of that fucking deer nut was?
Never seen anything like it.
That's definitely an Iowa deer nut. That's different class of deer.
Taking superfoods to a whole new level right there.
He's like Liver King, but with like animal parts.
Some of the comments were like, Liver King 2.0. Here he is.
He did have liver. Parts. Liver, kidney, and a testicle.
All raw.
All raw.
Here's how he
dipped in some maple syrup, he said.
the deer.
Yeah, because that would make it any better.
I mean, prefer pancakes than my maple syrup.
I just don't understand that. Like, because in the video, he's like, let me show you how you eat this deer nut. Like the deer testicle. You peel off the skin and then maple syrup's great.
How is he?
Imagine learning that, though.
How does he know that that's the proper way?
Right. Yeah. Trial and error.
He taught him that.
Yeah.
I was more impressed that he ate it without making a grimace or any sort of face. You can't tell me that tastes good.
On it.
It can't taste good.
No, the texture can't even be good. Come on.
Maybe we just can't get past the fact that it's a testicle. Maybe it's really not that bad. I'm not trying it. I'm just saying that maybe.
If it was raw hamburger meat, would you still eat it?
Yeah, I would try it.
Tatar.
That doesn't make me, like, give me weirded out. Knowing it's a fucking testicle, that's like,
meat's meat, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. If you
There's
took your testicle to and you like ground it up first, and I didn't like see it in like testicle form, maybe I could probably try it. You know?
Yeah, I get it. But no, I going back to the turkey nuggets though, Tim. Those were delicious, man. The sauce, the horseradish and ketchup, like primo.
It's go to, man.
Dude, that guy needs a biohazard bag. What the fuck? You just threw your fucking blood rag on the couch.
Listen, just you mind your business over there. Need to draw blood now so we know what it looks like tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it's such an easy way to cook wild turkey, though.
Yeah, dude. I mean, because like usually when I've done it, like I need to do what you said. I need to make it darker.
Yeah.
Like get it a little bit crispier.
So when you cut it up, do you cut it across the grain?
You got to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just makes the, makes it more tender.
Yeah. Every piece that I had was good. And delicious. Yeah.
Across the grain. Okay. Now I know.
If you cut it with the grain, it's chewy. It's like eating jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are congratulating Tim. He finished his Grand Slam. We're going to do a full dive in episode with him at another time where he's going to kind of explain all four of those, but you got it done, man. How's that feel though?
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple goals this year and just checking boxes. I can't believe it came together, honestly.
For rookie turkey people and people that don't know like me, what is the Turkey Grand Slam?
So it's the four North American subspecies. So Osceola, which is South Florida only, Merriam's, which is pretty much your Western bird, Rio's, which, pretty much your Southern Midwest bird, plus some Western states have them because they reintroduce them into a couple states, and then your Eastern, which is pretty much the whole cut the country in half. It's the whole Eastern part of the country, and then there's little spots of them here and there where they were reintroduced into some of the Western states too. But you asked me, I think last time we talked, like, what's your favorite bird? And now, this whole slam took 47 days from the time I took the first bird in Florida to taking the last bird this morning. Easterns all the way.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, yeah. In terms of like the hunt and just, the difficulty of the bird, I definitely think the Eastern's one of the hardest birds to kill public land wise. I think it's a little bit different if you hunt certain farms or whatever it is. But But hunting them all back to back, very close.
Yeah. I mean,
got to experience all of them within the last few weeks. But Easterns were definitely the, we're in the mecca of turkey, good turkey country. Yeah.
How many states do you have left to get a bird in on every state?
Oh, I don't know. Probably about half, I would say.
Yeah. Would that be your next major goal, or would you want to do the season slam again? Just
I don't think I'll do this. Just because of the Osceola thing, I don't know if I'll do the season slam. That's why I'm so tickled that it actually happened. Because, you know, this year I took the Osceola. I want to eventually hunt every state, and whether that's for turkey or if it's for some other type of game. I think the cool thing about being able to go away to go hunt is, you know, you get to experience that area, that state, a new place. It's kind of like a pretty cool vacation. That was cool about like the Western piece. Like I only hunted 3 days of the six I was out there. So I had 3 days to kind of vacation around a little bit,
right?
See some sights. So
what's the hardest that you think?
Bird-wise?
Yeah.
About the Eastern, hands down. Yeah, they're just... my experience with Osceola is very limited, so I would definitely say that Osceola is up there as being pretty difficult as well. But the cool thing about the Rios and the Merriams is they love to talk, and they talk all day. Like, the Rio I shot at, like, 4 p.m., so it was like, try and find an Eastern at 4 p.m., you know?
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a field by himself. Just standing there, not talking.
Right, yeah. And, like, this guy called him, you know, came in gobbling the whole way at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, that's just the cool part about the other subspecies.
So the Osceola, they didn't talk much, you said?
No. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. They just have a ton of predators. They don't like to talk. Yeah. They'll get eaten, too.
So if you could build, like a dream hunt, it'd be an Eastern, but, like, in the setting of, like, Oregon or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like Easterns in the West.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, so those pictures, like when you sent those, I was like, oh my gosh.
It's amazing. They're like, because, you know, I was hunting pretty high elevation for the
You're like, I'm in elk country.
Yeah. Yeah.
you saw it.
I was elk country. Yeah. Like legit, like, you know, I ascended and descended 1,100 feet to kill that bird. So the first one.
Yeah.
When you're like up on top of these mountains, it's like, yeah, you know, you're 3,000 feet above everything else around.
I like the fact that, like, you gave yourself a challenge of, obviously, like, the Washington, you killed two birds, you did the backcountry one, and then you got some permission, and then, you know, coming back to do your Eastern, you would have done the PA as your home tag, but you wanted to do an out-of-state. Even to do that, like, I think that's so cool. Like, instead of being like, I'm gonna use my PA tag for my Eastern to get it, like, no, I'm gonna go to Connecticut and do it. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I really like that 1%. Like, really like pushing, like, you know, here's a real tough challenge. How do we make it even harder? So, like, my goal going into it was like Florida, I never hunted before, it was a new state. I really enjoy like checking out new states, so it was like, let's just try and figure out all new states.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, we're going to try to get Jim a bird tomorrow. You're going to go with Tim. Mm-hmm. Josh and I are going to go. Josh is going to call. I got, you know, sweet mouth over there. That's going to be
clock calls.
It's pretty good.
I don't know. Tim's like magic.
Well, yeah. Tim.
Tim's magic. No. Magic Tim.
I heard you in the kitchen when I was cooking, man.
Yeah.
Sounded good. If I was a gobbler, I would have came in.
Yeah. I'm just a big yelper. I could purr on my slate and just yelp on my mouth. Dude,
that would kill birds, man.
Yep, hey,
I just learned how to use a slate call, and I'm pretty good at it. So
Tim says Tim's just gonna run. He's gonna run the camera. That's it.
Yeah.
He gave you a gun and a call, and you're gonna.
Could you imagine if I just followed Jim around with a camera and see how he can attempt a turkey hunt or not tell him anything?
He didn't even bring a gun. To
give my slate call and your gun. You can go out and whack one.
Just let him go and just record him.
Double beard, 25 pounds.
State record bird too. Maybe 30 pounds. Like a
that one would actually have beard. Some deer. Would have some turkey nets on it. Oh my god, dude! It's tack month.
I know.
It is May. Like
thank God. It felt like forever away. Now it's here.
How'd it go? You guys were shooting your bows while I was making dinner.
We're dialing the sight tapes. We're getting close. I'm really happy with mine. I haven't had a sight tape this accurate right off the rip in, I think, ever.
Yeah.
So there's always usually some sort of variation, especially when you start stretching the distances out.
What did you shoot up to out there?
60?
65, I think, is what we just pushed it to. But everything we were doing was kind of like, I was walking to like off yardages a little bit there just to see. And everything's grouping really well.
Did you shoot tack in the past?
I think once or twice. Twice. So twice, I think.
I'm the only one that's never been there.
Yeah.
Is it, yeah, a little more challenging than Montage Mountain?
No. As far as like the shot difficulty, no.
I don't think so, yeah. Mm-mm. The overall experience is different because it's just like it's way bigger.
Yeah. Way bigger.
I mean, like, if there was 100, I mean, how many archers do you think show up to Montage Mountain?
Maybe 100, yeah.
100? There's 2,600 registered at fucking...
That's dude, there, I actually think there's more.
Yeah,
I
mean, well, that was the one last time we were there. I remember PA, that number.
PA, out of all the Total Archery Challenge...
It's the biggest one.
...is the biggest one. Has the most people that they do, and it has...
It's the largest tech event?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Is there 8 courses?
8 or 10. Yeah. I think this year it might be 10.
And then there the village is just, like, insane. It's like a freaking... It's like being at the Harrisburg Outdoor Show, but outside.
That's awesome.
And
it's
better.
And it's just, looking forward to
but it. But all the all archery shit that we like.
Jim's going to win the truck this year.
I hope so. I'm going to throw a couple at it. Why not?
Jim's going to overheat because he's trying to be lean, mean, and not carry a lot of gear.
I am.
He's got his roll up water bottle.
Yep.
I'm not. I am not carrying. I always fucking like sweat and like
after.
Just, I feel just. I don't know.
Your experience, I thought you'd be carrying around like a 5-gallon Gatorade bucket container.
Yeah.
I thought he was just putting an IV in himself.
I know.
Well, originally you were talking. We talked about on the podcast that you might be doing that marsupial.
Yeah, gear. I still might do the hydration.
There was a guy that I saw they posted like on their Instagram story, mm-hmm. have that set up, and it was actually pretty slick.
Yeah, there's a good chance I'm going to order the hydration pack. But I know like we've had, the water stations at Montage wasn't the best, but like at TAC, it's like they're pretty hardcore about it. Like,
yeah,
they have midway points, and before you go up and the midway points, there's like those Yeti coolers full of water. You're hooked up. That's why I wanted to take, I didn't want to have to carry like a water bottle hanging off me. I could just fill up when we get out there. And
that was our only complaint the first time I went to Montage is the first year. The water cooler situation was because they ordered them and they didn't come in time or something.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was great.
Tech has that figured out. So
I'm excited. I'm just pumped for the sole fact that we have it Friday night and Saturday night. Like we don't have to hurry up and get home. We could go down.
I'm hoping to shoot 2 courses and grab some dinner and relax.
Like, cause you figure we're all going to get there at a decent time, at least for the evening on Friday.
Yeah. We're going to leave lunchtime ish.
Yeah. So get there for a good time, have that evening, basically. Shoot early, get lunch, shoot again. People reached out about doing that workout type thing. Mm-hmm. I just don't know when we would do that since we shoot early.
Shoot early Saturday?
Yeah.
What is that new workout thing?
So we did a podcast with Preston Ward, a mountain physio, who will be there. He's originally from Utah.
Yep.
He's the one that does like works with Team USA, does like the physical therapy.
Mm-hmm. I've seen his stuff. Yeah.
Yep. So we talked about it since he's going to be there. We're like, oh, we should do something like a hike or something along those lines. And I had our friends from when we went down to Big Truck Farms, the guys that were running that, they're going to be there. Mm. And they were like, hey, if you guys want to do sandbags and all that stuff, just say your name, just say their name and they'll bring it, mm-hmm. From Goated Archery. So what I was thinking was if we do something, maybe like Sunday morning.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like it could, cause it would be early type of ordeal, like super early. And then we could just still get our stuff, get breakfast, go down to the tent village. But and
it's going to be like Big Truck where it's like a timed,
No. We would just like go hike, like literally just start at the base of like where people shoot and go hike it or just, I think Bo did something like that, like a few years ago, he did like an East meets West one, but I don't know. Again, we don't have to, this was just something that like Preston mentioned and a few other people, different people reached out to. So I don't know. We'll keep it on the radar. If we get enough people and if not, then we could just even do it if mm-hmm. we wanted to. So, but our goal is we're shooting UltraView course. That was the only one that we were able to get on for that Saturday morning. And then we'll try to shoot whatever you want to do, the knock on course or whatever. We can.
I would love to do the knock on one again. Cause that's like the most quote unquote challenging, I think.
Yeah. But
we haven't done the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation one. If they're still doing
it's
that.
All elk targets.
All elk targets, which are the giant targets.
Oh, I thought they were.
So they'll do all the big ones, but then they will throw that third.
You're right.
Reinhardt.
Yep.
I mean, it's an elk target, whatever.
But they're pretty cool because they have the bedded elks and all different positionings and stuff. Yeah,
that'd be a cool shoot.
And I like. And
I think they're only 15 targets, which we'll guarantee to get through that and have it as a second course, I think is kind of.
Yeah, nice. I guess depending on what time it is, that will dictate. But I don't know. I think we would be able to get on knock on potentially. Yeah. I like the fact too that we're at an Airbnb and we can make food and not have to worry.
We'll have more turkey nuggets.
Turkey nuggets.
I want Josh to meet Big John Dudley so he could see him in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know,
they could look eye to eye.
He'll be like, whoa, wait.
Let me see your ink, bro. That's what he'll say.
He's probably going to think I'm a poser because I got my bow's all green. Just happened to be the color I picked this year.
You're shooting a knock
to it. Shoot a knock to it release. And I got a sleeve. He's going to be like, oh, look at this guy.
You're just like the other 2,500 guys that came up through here.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I didn't start watching any of his videos until after I put green on my bow and decided to order a new release.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That green bow is sweet. You liking it?
I love it. That's my new favorite bow.
Yeah.
My Energy 35 that's now 10 years old is, I still pull it out and shoot that thing lights out. I mean, I will never get rid of it, but this one's a close second. So my Ethos, I love my Ethos. I'm just kind of like a taller person. I like the string angle better. I want a little bit longer of a bow. And I think it just fits me a little better. I mean, I shot great with my Ethos. But this thing's just in a whole different world. So I like
it. Tim brought up how we were shooting out there and it was kind of dark and I'm getting a sight tape on the artist with that new setup with the strings and going to lighter arrows. So I didn't even have a 30. Like I had the 20, we marked my 30, but my 60s for sure. Not in, I could barely see by the time we got there. But, I mean, your first shot, you were like, what is this 37? And like Josh has peppered it right in there. I was like, yeah, it's a sight tapes on it.
Yeah, I mean that whole setup just fits me well. I mean,
how you liking that Spot Hog?
I love that Spot Hog. Yeah. I've always been an HHA guy, and there's nothing wrong with them. I just kind of wanted to go a different direction this year, and after a bunch of reviews and things like that, those Spot Hogs are just bomb proof.
Yeah.
I can't say that there's one's better than the other. It's a little bit lighter than the HHA, but overall, I mean, it's just. It's nice. I like being able to, my old HHA on my old bow, I didn't have the interchangeable knobs.
Yeah.
And this year I'm going to shoot the 166 Ultra arrows for hunting season. And right now I'm shooting the 204s for outdoor and 3D stuff. So being able to change those wheels out is going to be, it's kind of like a game changer.
Yeah.
That was why I never wanted to switch to 166 arrows. Cause you know, once you find that sight tape, that's like, Jim was making fun of me because I actually meshed two of them together. But that thing was just so dialed in that I just never wanted to touch it.
Yeah.
So being able to take off a knob after, you know, everybody knows that you work on getting the perfect sight tape through a whole entire season. And the last thing you want to do is have to peel it off and start from scratch. So it's really nice. And it's, like I said, I put that UltraView housing on it and I'm shooting a small peep sight. I'm shooting an eighth inch peep sight. But with the string angle and that peep being so close to my face, I really don't notice much of a difference between that and my 5/32. So really like it.
Because is the HHAs is the Tetra Max is the only one that you could swap, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We just have, you and I
Tetra.
Had.
Anything with the Max on it, that's the one allows you to swap the wheels.
Yeah, because now it's at the Nitrix or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just put that one on my Energy. So I still have a really nice, that bow is literally, I like having two bows that I can take one off the wall if something goes wrong catastrophically and I need to just grab something and go hunting. So
it's perfect. They're both 35s.
Yeah, I know. Well, everybody said, well, when they were developing that bow that this was like the they're bringing back the original one
energy.
Yeah.
So
and I switched my other bow over to Ultra Arrows also. So I mean they were relatively close grain wise to my axes.
Yeah.
It's just nice to keep everything consistent and not have to like switch my quiver. Literally just take my quiver off and put it on a different bow. So.
Well, you were saying about Tim, how many years you shot tack, and your first year is when you had the fixed pin.
Yeah.
You and Tom came up at what? I can't remember what course you guys shot.
We shot the Yeti course, I think. Yeah, because the first target was my first tack target was the Yeti at like Tom and I show up and we, you know, we signed up for this course. It said like, you know, 20 to 60 yards, and we're like, all right, we're good. Cause I think I had like five pins at the time.
Yeah.
And, so I did have a 60 yard pin and like we pull up to the first target. It's a Yeti standing up on this mountain, like 94 yards or something. So I drew back and I'm just like holding it over its head, you know, and let the arrow go. And it sounded like foam, but it really didn't. And it went through the big toe of the Yeti. I was like, it counts.
It counts. It is.
Cause we don't keep score. We keep track of like hit target, miss target. Yeah. So,
foam is home.
Yeah. My first tack target, I hit the big toe on a Yeti.
Yeah. That's funny.
And then it was downhill from there. I think the next like two targets we whiffed on. Cause like we're going through this course and it's like, we thought it was 60 and under. And like the first three targets were like 85 and over.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Cause my very first tack event was on that same course and it was the Yeti. And I think it was like 86 yards or something. For whatever reason that jumps out at me, but the freaking, I smoked the, it has two bolts like right at the nipples.
Oh yeah.
And you hit that bolt hit target that. Together. And here I let the arrow go and I thought it was a freaking money shot. Cause like, you know, the vitals is right in the chest and I fucking smoked that bolt and like vaporized my arrow like right off the rip. I'm like, God, this is going to be a freaking long day.
Yeah. That's when you were with the Harveys and like we shot Fun and View.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was in a group that was ahead of him and when we like lapped around with each other, like my first 13, 15 before everything goes uphill, mm-hmm. I was spot on. I mean, I was in the zone. Like I felt really good, everything along those lines. And next thing you know, everything was like uphill. I had one bad shot. It was like a bat. And after that, I was like, and I saw you and I was like, dude, I'm losing it. And you're like, just chill. And I got like total target.
There was a tree that fell over and like it had like the root ball that was like sticking up and they had the bat hanging in the middle of the
That target. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was actually made a good shot on that target. Cool. With a few.
Yeah.
I remember the day we shot on a Thursday, we couldn't get in with you guys.
Right.
And it poured.
Oh, downward.
Like we were a muddy mess because like all the trails were flooding and everything. It was so bad. That was our first tag experience.
I am worried about that for this year. But given that like it being moved up to a little bit different time zone than it normally is.
Yeah. Man, it's not too much moved up.
Hopefully it'll be fine.
We'll be all right.
It is wild though with the new, how the technology has evolved and it went from, you know, now a intermediate course is like 60 yards and under with, you know, 10 years ago, if a 60 yard target was like that, you had to be a professional archer to be shooting that kind of stuff. Now, you know, all these targets are, like Tim said, the first three targets are 90 yards. It's like, that was unheard of back in the day. Now everybody's got sliding pins that go down to 120, and it's crazy, these laser fast bows.
And that's what, like, I mean, we love shooting long distance, and I think we will get that in that second course we do. Mm-hmm. But from when I messaged Rob, like when it came down to us getting in, the only course was the Ultra View course. When I booked this and I got us in and I messaged him, I was like, hey, this is, you know, a couple years old now. Like, do you like this course? Like, what are your thoughts? And he was like, terrain, you guys will be good. You still take the lift up, but like, it's not like crazy, you know, elevation or anything like that. He's like, but it's technical.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So that's what fires me up a little bit, because like, it's like, okay, we can do technical and then like course two, let's try to find something like man, I really hope we can do the knock on course just because of like, I like the layout of that one. Like
knock on is technical and long.
Yeah.
So you got bombs, technical bomb shots, which is what makes that one kind of fun.
Right.
But Ultra View guys, they're all come from the target world. So like they developed that course to kind of mimic like a pro course.
Yeah. So we're going to like, so it might be like a 57 yard shot, but it's going to be on a freaking bunny through like,
with like a split Y of a tree or something. Right. Like, you know,
that's awesome though. It's still the competitive edge though. That's what gives it, you know, even those 20, 30 yard targets are still fun when we're trying to break each other's arrows. And especially when me and you at the end screw up and lose. Jim's over there trying to shoot.
Smoked that hog at 60 yards.
Oh my God.
Trying to shoot a, make a shoot a boulder, throw us off.
Dude, I'm going to send it.
Bring that up.
I'm just going to send it. A montage.
Right there, guys. I'm telling you. Want me to go show it to you?
Yes, please. Yeah,
we literally walked. We literally walked down there and I was like, what are you talking about? And finally, one of us was like, it's that gator.
Yeah, I think I crouched down. Yeah. To do something with my bow or my pack.
Yeah,
or
didn't you have to like sit on your ass to
kneel down? Yeah. That's probably why I shot bad.
Yeah.
Of all the 3D courses, TAC event, no matter what event, what do you think your favorite like shot was on any course you've ever done? I got two that jump out at me.
Probably that one whitetail shot at the knock on course where the water's in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's number one. Number two, I always, even though I didn't shoot it well, I thought when you walk up and see that grizzly at montage.
That was my favorite one. Yeah, I was going to say the exact one. Yeah. That grizzly hanging over the rocks at montage was just stellar.
Yeah.
And my other one was actually at montage also, the gator across the creek through that pipe.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like just the thought and like the creativity and setting that up. I think that's awesome.
Because the water was running. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one that was cool at montage was, it was right in the middle of like a slope with that big lake way out in the background. It was kind of like was it a caribou?
Yeah, 128 yards.
Yeah.
The one that was way downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. I think Jim hit that one.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the really far one. There's another one closer to the top where it was kind of at the crest of like a hill and like the lake was in the background.
It looked like it was going to go but it was like, 5 miles.
It was like 70 yards. But it was like a kind of
game. Wasn't that a doe? Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a mule deer or something. Yeah.
Like a prairie kind of simulated.
Yeah, I remember that one.
The downhill one was like 140 yards. Everybody was kind of guessing at where you could shoot.
Yeah, I hit it in. I think I hit that one.
You hit that one too. Yeah.
You actually hit it.
He made a good shot. He killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might have died if it penetrated more than like an inch.
Josh sent like three arrows. He's like, oh, here's thunk. He's like, I think I hit it.
It's so far. Even in your binos, you're like, all you see is like a dust splash. Like, yeah, you don't even know.
Yeah. It's like an 8 second away, too. Yeah.
Like, was it low or high? And everybody's like, I don't know.
Not going to have that at Camp Freedom this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. If they're going to have the, if you're in a park in the same, like similar place or what the case is going to be. But
You're for sure doing it?
Yeah. There's two shoots at Camp Freedom. There's the Freedom Archery Fest or whatever it is. I think you shot that. And then I think the montage crew is having a shoot in June.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, he has a good idea of how to set up targets. I mean, the target setup was pretty good.
He is creative. Yeah. So, like, he's going to use the most out of that property, you know?
It's just not a
it's pretty flat, right?
It's flat.
Yeah. It's flat, yeah.
So, it's going to be more woodsy kind
of. It's going to be more of a standard club. Yeah. Club 3D shoot.
I mean, I don't know. To me, it's just fun. We went down the big truck, and that was kind of in the woods. That was a blast.
That was a blast. Yeah. That was fun. That'd be a nice one for the four of us to go.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to that one this year, right?
No.
That's one of those things that they have, I think, pretty often.
So, like,
you can kind of go down there.
So, I think it's like every weekend or like every other weekend when they're like 3D ranges open and the restaurant's open. Like, we just need to go. Like,
they got a nice brewery there and like the food trucks and stuff. It's just like a nice full day out.
The course is like,
let me shoot my bow more.
It's like golf. Like, the course is all mowed. Every path is mowed. There's like a, almost like a golf like tee box marker at everything. Like it's pretty impressive for
like a plastic like a fence post with like hooks on it to hang your bow at every one with like the
big truck farm
with like the sign of the big truck farms and like what hole you're on, you know, type thing.
Yeah,
it's like fancy.
Yeah. It's like golf.
It is like
it was really nice, except it was 115 degrees.
Oh my God, we sweated so bad that day. It was warm.
Yeah.
It was not cool.
Yeah, it's better than rain.
Whew.
True.
Yeah. True. Yeah, I'll take that.
When we shot up at Camp Freedom with the Mountain Archery Fest guys, that rained like the day before that, and that was like a freaking mud bog.
Yeah.
That was, that made that whole property like really, really tough to.
So like that one, like that guy, that company's no longer in business when it was the Mountain Archery Fest. And we shot, it was called the World Records Course. So like in theory, it sounds like really cool. So like if you shot a world record doll sheep, right? Like, and it
wasn't it replicas of all the,
yeah. Records? So like he had replicas of the antlers on the
actual target,
on the actual target.
Which that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And like maybe the shot, like maybe the distance was what like they tried to mimic, right? Obviously not the scenery. It's
a pretty cool idea.
Right. It was actually really cool. But like when you're going through it and the whitetail, it was this monster whitetail and it was only like a 17 yard shot. And then he had it like through just a little bit of brush and you like line up and you're like pinwheel. Yeah. And it's like,
'cause that's how the guy killed it.
Yeah.
Like in real life.
We're like,
it was cool to walk up and pull your arrow out though and like actually get the touch and see like what the caliber of that.
Yeah.
Of that was.
But again, like 17 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I like weird. You were just saying like the guy from Montage, Greg, right? Yeah. He did set up that really nice. So I'm just hoping it's that same.
He'll find creative ways to make it cool.
Yeah, you were asking about favorite targets. That one sticks out where you had to like balance on that stump, except I could not remember what you were shooting with. You had to like stand on the stump and like shoot.
You remember the old deer
at Montage? I thought it was a tiny target between like a Y tree. It was between two ski slopes. You don't remember that one?
Was that black deer? There was like really tight spot where you're almost guaranteed to shoot a tree.
Yeah. And you were standing on on a stump.
Yes.
Yeah, something black. It was like...
Oh, was that newer target?
Was it a hog?
No,
it was like a goat or something.
It was like a deer goat looking sucker.
Hmm.
Delta McKenzie target.
Or like an African deer.
Yeah, like something some like that.
Coos buck or whatever the hell you call things.
Yeah, what the heck are they called?
That was a good one.
Gems buck.
And then the... I think it was down below, again, also around the water, before we get up and finish, there was the Wolverine. Mm-hmm. That was one where we had to, like, shoot and, like, stand through, like, a big tree limb. That was one like that.
And then the one prior to target. And remember the generators were there? Shut it off because, like, it wasn't working.
Saving gas.
Yeah. It's like, boom.
That would have been cool if it was moving because that was a whitetail, I think, at, like, 30-some yards.
They had some neat targets, like as far as not just the way it was set up, but like the actual physical target itself was like the bobcat jumping up and like grabbing at like a duck. And you could actually shoot the duck or the bobcat as like with like scoring rings on it. Super neat. And it had the whole thing like stretched out. Then there was the raccoon that was hanging from like a limb.
Yeah.
It was a rope, but it like made it look like it was hanging from an actual like tree branch. And like, it was just, you know, so if you hit it, like it would actually swing.
There was, my local club when it was around, they had a pretty cool 3D target. And that's probably my most memorable target. They had a mountain lion on a huge limb that was it was basically like cut a tree down.
Yeah.
And they had this huge bracket on another tree and it was like a seesaw and they had a rope hanging down. So you'd have this mountain lion. It was like 15-20 feet in the air, you shoot the lion and then you go up and pull the rope down, it hinges, pull your arrow, and then you leave it back up again. No, and it resets.
That's
it
was awesome.
And for like outside of Freeland, Pennsylvania,
it
was cool. It was really cool. And like if you missed, like it was gone
because
you're aiming 20 feet in the air.
I told Jim the place that's open by me that was like open every day and everything, you just go pay $10. It's not happening this year.
Really?
They like, Nate was filling me in on what was happening. Just, it's a no-go. Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So, luckily, I bought all those new 3D targets last year in between what you have and what he has. And
set up a course right here.
Yeah, we have so many different stations you can shoot from.
Yeah. Ground.
It would be
deck,
pretty neat.
Deck.
We wouldn't even have to go that far. Just like looping around the...
Yeah.
Up to the... To the pathway, the main pathway, and then around the house, you can shoot off right the back.
Jerris Flats.
Jerris Flats. Yeah.
We're gonna
you actually have to shoot here. From Jer's stand, like his setup, his saddle setup, like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
We're going to get a little sign up there on the path for you. Yeah. Now entering Jer's Flats.
Jer's Flats.
With an arrow.
Yeah.
The little log path.
It's funny how a deer camp's like little names of stuff like that will stick forever now. Like for the next 50 years, that is going to be Jer's Flat.
And then Devil's Ass Crack right yeah. next to it.
Everybody knew exactly where I was talking about though when I said that.
Yeah.
Jer's Flat.
Yep.
Yeah. I could like vividly picture exactly what that looks like standing there looking at that.
You had a great description of it though earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's just like a perfect bench. And then it's like a, it's basically like, well, like a rock slide that turns into like a tunnel with like the foliage. It's, yeah. it's a freaking neat spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the way that are in the, like earlier on the fall, like the way they were moving through that and then going to whatever food source, it was like, it just, they funneled right through there.
I think, yeah, in the evening. Cause
yeah.
they come all the way down the bottom here.
Uh-huh. And like what you were noticing when they were in the bottom, because then in the mornings that's where they were, because they were bedding somewhere in that real thick shit and then going right back up top.
Yep.
And Jesse made a good point when he was up here in the fall when he walked the front half of the mountain. He's like, there's no food over here in gun season. Mm-hmm. He's like, all the food's on the other side, and that's where all the deer are. So yep.
that's the north end. I mean, it just yep. as soon as it's over, it's over.
In archery season, this is the cooler side of the hill. Mm-hmm. You know,
but yep. No, I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm excited for next couple weeks. We'll have some tack. We're going to dive in more on another episode with Tim telling the turkey stuff and his traveling with it and some kind of nitty gritty with stuff. So I'm pumped for that. And I'm excited for us to get together more. This is that like time where it's like, yeah. all right, weekends are, if we're not, you know, busy. Let's come up here. Let's get some work done. Let's get it going. And that doesn't look that bad. We're going to be able to get that flooring, get a contractor, and
yeah, it's just disheartening, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, we had kind of had this place the way that we wanted it to be, and then something happens and you get a little hiccup. But yeah,
we'll say it's an opportunity.
Yeah, it's an opportunity.
It's going to be way. It's going to be better.
Yeah.
And we were talking about maybe moving the island and like turning it the instead of it having the way it's facing, turn it the other way. So that way you could sit along it and kind of use it as a table too.
Right now it has more of a cabin-y feel when you have to wear sneakers in the kitchen. Cause
I agree.
Dirt on the
floor. It has that like musty cabin smell now.
Tripping over.
Yeah.
It's almost not a cabin if you have to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, I appreciate it, boys. We're going to get after. We're going to get some sleep. We got to get up early. So hopefully you enjoyed this one, little laid back version of Antler Up. We're talking about deer nuts and eating deer nuts,
turkey nugs,
turkey nuts too. But no, man, I appreciate it. Let's have some fun tomorrow. Let's have some fun and be safe and shoot straight and knock down some. What do you got? You got to close it out. You got depression with depression.
Eat your vitamins and say your prayers, brother.
Hulk Hogan. Antler Up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.